Let's continue reading verses 1 through 6 of Matthew chapter 7. Here we have another very practical section of the Sermon on the Mount. Believers are not to judge the motives of others, and they are not to be fault finders, and they are not to cast their pearls before swine. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye? And look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite! First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Once again, some background notes. In the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 6 and verse 8, we read, what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? Now this verse, Micah 6, 8, is not a message on the way of salvation, but it is a message addressed to God's people on the way of righteous living. You know, this is essentially the message of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount does not give us the way of salvation. You will not find the gospel in the Sermon on the Mount. The essential message of the Sermon on the Mount concerns the way of righteous living. In the historical context, the Sermon on the Mount was given to the Jews who were preparing for the kingdom of heaven. Remember the message of John the Baptist and then of our Lord at that time? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here in the Sermon on the Mount, the way of righteous living was presented to those who were preparing for the Lord's kingdom. Of course, we know that the nation of Israel rejected the kingdom that was offered to them, and as a result, the gospel has gone out to the whole world. As Christians today, we can draw principles for righteous living from the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount gives us the way of righteous living. And certainly more we could give for background, but we have three doctrinal points. Doctrinal point number one, believers should not judge the motives or conscience of others. Believers should not judge the motives or conscience of others. Verses 1 and 2. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Here is a scripture that has been greatly misunderstood. The Lord did not mean here that we are never to judge one another in any area. If that were so, we would be against courts of justice and against discipline in the home and in the church. The Bible certainly indicates that there are areas where we are to judge others. Look down at verse 15 of this chapter. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Certainly, to follow this exhortation requires some judgment. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, we read, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. And then the scripture goes on to say, if he doesn't listen to you, then the church is to be told, and they are to judge. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 teaches that the church is to judge sin and discipline its members accordingly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that Christians should be available to judge the disputes of other believers. Throughout the epistles of the New Testament, we are exhorted to judge false teaching. Listen to the words of the Apostle John, which exhort us to use judgment in reference to false teaching. I'm reading 2 John verses 7 through 11. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. 2 John verses 7 through 11. So certainly we are to judge false teachers and their false doctrines concerning Christ. And what about 2 Corinthians 6:14, which says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers"? How can Christians avoid being unequally yoked together if they don't exercise some judgment? So there are areas where Christians are to judge others. In fact, Christians are responsible to judge others in certain areas. What the Lord means here in the Sermon on the Mount is that we are not to judge the motives or the conscience of others. Judge not, that you be not judged. We are not to judge the motives of others because we can't see motives. We can see sinful behavior and judge that. And we are responsible to judge it. But we can't see motives. Illustration. When a student of mine cuts one of my classes, I am wrong to immediately jump to the conclusion that this student is lazy or unspiritual or doesn't like my teaching. There may be a very good reason why they cut my class that day. And we are not to judge another person's conscience. We see in Romans chapter 14 that there are differences of opinion on matters that are not in themselves right or wrong, such as working on Sunday and proper Christian music and so forth. We are not to judge another believer's conscience in these areas. Verse 2 here says that if we judge others, we'll be judged ourselves by our own standards. Serious point being made. Believers should not judge the motives or conscience of others. Doctrine point number 2. Believers should not concentrate on the faults of fellow believers. Believers should not concentrate on the faults of fellow believers. Verses 3 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye"? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The Lord uses a figure of speech here known as hyperbole. Hyperbole is the use of purposeful exaggeration to get your point across. I told you a million times to turn your homework in on time. Right? That's hyperbole. Purposeful exaggeration. I didn't really say that, student, a million times. But, you know, you're not in error when you use hyperbole. It's a figure of speech. Well, the Lord uses hyperbole here. And what we have in this case is like a cartoon. One Christian is saying to another, "Brother, you have a speck of sawdust in your eye. Here, let me help you remove it." Meanwhile, this Christian speaking, he has a log or telephone pole sticking out of his own eye. I mean, it really is cartoon material. How ridiculous for this Christian to think that he's an eye specialist with 20/20 vision. You can see the point of the hyperbole here, right? In the same way, we tend to see all the little faults of our fellow believers and ignore our own faults, which may be much larger. It's like a very rich Christian who doesn't even tithe, rebuking a very poor Christian for only putting a dollar in the collection plate. I mean, how blind can you be? More examples could be given, right? Notice that the Lord does not say that it is wrong to help our fellow believers with their faults. After all, we all have faults that hinder our walk with the Lord. We all have these. But we should first get the log or plank out of our own eye, and then we will see clearly, and then we will be able to truly help our fellow believers with their faults. Let's not be hypocrites, believers should not concentrate on the faults of fellow believers. Doctrine point number three, believers should not cast their pearls before swine. Believers should not cast their pearls before swine. Verse 6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Now, what does this mean? That believers are not to give what is holy to the dogs, and they're not to cast their pearls before swine. It means that believers are not to entrust holy things to unholy people. Under the Mosaic law, dogs and swine were unclean animals, and the terms here are used to depict wicked unbelievers. That is, those unbelievers that are not open at all to the things of God. In fact, they are out to tear down the Word of God and undermine the Christian faith. Just as dogs cannot appreciate what is sacred, and just as pigs cannot appreciate the value of pearls, so do some unbelievers treat divine truth with no respect. They are even vicious in their contempt of Christ and the gospel. Illustration. I remember years ago sharing some truth about the literary and numerical structure of Scripture with an unbeliever that I worked with. I mean, these were some of the gems of the Bible that I was discovering. But this unbeliever was not open or interested in any way. It was like throwing pearls before a swine. He probably filed this information away to use later in making fun of the Christian faith. Believers should not cast their pearls before swine. Practical application from this first portion of Matthew chapter 7. Use your sense of humor to serve the Lord. Use your sense of humor to serve the Lord. Our sense of humor is God-given. God has a sense of humor. And we human beings, created in the image of God, have a sense of humor. Obviously, like everything else that God has given us, we can use our sense of humor against God by making fun of God. And this is what many people do. But on the other hand, we can use our sense of humor to glorify God and to serve the Lord. You might say, where is this in this passage here? I think you see already. Our Lord used humorous hyperbole here to get his point across. The picture of someone with a log sticking out of their own eye and yet finding fault with a speck of sawdust in someone else's eye is very humorous hyperbole. As I said before, it's cartoon material. The Lord used it for the glory of God. And we can too. We should follow the model of our Lord. You can use your sense of humor in many ways to serve the Lord. In sermons, and writing, and witnessing, and relationships, and in many other ways. Our sense of humor is God-given. Use your sense of humor to serve the Lord.